Hello, this is Gary Nadler. The podcast this time is going to be most unique. I have waited and waited and waited, whether to record something or even what was going to happen in my life. But this morning I was actually in my mother's womb. And if you've listened to the podcast about that, you know what I mean. And I decided that I would record this, and I want to relate to you what's going on in my life right now. It is going to be quite personal. I am going to mention names. And I weighed and weighed and weighed what I should be doing with my life right now. And let me give you a summary of that. As you know, we had hoped that something significant would happen on May 31. As that day drew near, I knew nothing really would. A couple of bride brothers came and we prayed together. And that concerned me, not so much concerning what Yahweh would do, but what you, the listener, the bride, what you would think. And I just waited to see what the outcome would be. But let me get to the core of what this podcast is going to cover. It's titled Four Items. The reason for that title is that on June 16, I was sitting at my desk where I am right now. This is where I record the podcast. And I realized that there were four items that were weighing upon me very, very heavily. So I got out a piece of paper and I wrote them down just to record them. I didn't need a piece of paper to remember them because, again, they were weighing and continue to do so. They were weighing very heavily on my heart. I'm going to explain what the four are, because they continue to be at the forefront of my mind. And I'm going to be very honest. I have actually weighed and weighed and weighed what I'm to do at this point and how open I should be. I don't want to say things that I should not say, and yet I have to be open to the fact of reality. I don't want to say things to try to influence you. I hate someone trying to manipulate others. I don't think it's honest. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right before God. And yet, if I know in my heart that I should go ahead and speak it, I don't hold back. And that's just the way I am. I say I don't hold back. I don't mean that I don't hold back from saying things. And some people, this is not even related, but that phrase would be someone who is outspoken. Let me tell you, folks, whatever comes out of our mouth is to be to the benefit of the hearer. It is not for ourselves. We cannot live for our own selfish will or our selfish goal. If it is not helpful to the hearer, then don't even speak it. I don't care what you think you need to get out of your mouth. Your mouth does not need to be a cesspool and put forth filth that is simply for your own relief or satisfaction. So what comes out of our mouth is to be to the benefit of the hearer. And I hope that that is the outcome of what I'm going to share with you now. And I hope I'm spot on in Yahweh. Only time will tell. But I do know that with a pure heart, I'm going to share these things with you. And they are quite personal. The first of the four is what's taking place in Africa. Quite honestly, if it wasn't for what is taking place in Africa, I would have no concerns about what happens in the future. When you talk about the latter rain or the coming of Emmanuel, I can't control that. Nobody can. It's totally out of my hands. But what's taking place in Africa? Brothers and sisters, that weighs upon me. And the reason it does is because these gentlemen, Caleb, Walter, Jacob, Abdi, they all are personal friends. Now, frankly, I haven't met Abdi, but his life is very important to me. These men lay their lives down in Africa to teach bride truth. They pay the price. They even put their lives at risk. Look what happened to Caleb and his wife, Belinda, and Yangi. When we talk about the Africa work, that work has one life source right now. And that is my support, but also your support financially. And the thought of just canceling the Africa work is weighty in that it is people who have lives in a relationship and dedication that I do not take lightly. How can you measure the weight of responsibility for something like that? And so my decisions cannot be made tritely because it impacts their lives. And so the Africa work weighs upon me most heavily. And so that's the first of the four items that have been weighing upon me. The second weight that was hanging over me on that date of June 16, and frankly has been hanging upon me for a long time, is my wife and my family. They have been gone for 14 years. My wife left 14 years ago. But what brought all of this to the forefront recently was on June 12, I received an email from my wife, and I'm just, look, folks, I'm a very open person, and this is just reality. I received an email from my wife on June 12. What it was an email to her pastor, frankly, wanting to know his opinion about divorce. And in it, she called me her former husband. Now, I don't tell this to you for any other reason than for you to understand where I am in these four matters. So I won't go into it any further, but that weighed upon me very, very heavily. And in reality, this was a work of the Father, because that email to her pastor, in which she spoke concerning me in a very, very unfavorable manner, was in fact intended to have been to him, but she inadvertently put my email address in there and sent it to me. Here's my point. My family, as a whole, has been gone now for 14 years. And it weighs upon me very heavily. In fact, I'll add one other thing that has highlighted this pain and difficulty. Of my five children, my oldest daughter, Christy, has been the closest one to me in many ways. And on Father's Day, June 18, I received an email from her, and with some degree of length for her, she criticized me. And that was my gift on Father's Day. I never hear from my family on Father's Day, from my children. So you can see why my wife and my family weigh upon me most heavily. In fact, I would say that at this point, they are further estranged from me than they have been in my life. and even since my wife left in 2003. So, the second of these four items that weigh upon me quite heavily is, in fact, my family and their loss. The third item that was weighing upon me on June 16 was a lady who has become my spiritual daughter and has been such for 7 years. And Yahweh is in our relationship. Her relationship with her father was not healthy, and she asked for God to send her a father. And 7 years ago, we met each other, and subsequently she asked if I would be her spiritual father. I will simply mention that she's gone through a lot of things in life concerning her natural father and concerning her own life experiences before she became a believer. And this has created some issues that we have to work out for her gain, to put aside the past and to look forward to the future. Yahweh has clearly been in our relationship. For the first time in her life, she had a natural pregnancy and birth, and she knows that this child was a fruit of this transformation in her life. But because of difficulties in the past, she has had to work through things, and on that particular day, of late, she was struggling with something, and it was impacting me. And keep in mind, I'm already now weighed down by three other items, and with this coming up, it was weighing upon me as well, and I added it to the list. But I will say this, that of the four items, this one has been resolved. My spiritual daughter, and she really wants me to just call her a daughter, and truly she is. I don't have contact with my family other than my youngest daughter, and that's surface. But she is that daughter in my life that I need. And she needs a father. And this last event with regard to her that caused me to be heavy was resolved on Father's Day. She and this little child, that's the miracle birth, they came and spent Father's Day with me, and we had a wonderful time together. It was a training experience for the child because Mom had not been as diligent in training the child as she needed to be, and so we had to work out a few things, but it works for good. But the reality is, this spiritual daughter is more faithful and fulfilling to me than my natural children right now. In fact, I even wrote an email to my natural daughter and told her that just like the sons of Israel and the Jews were rejected and the spiritual offspring were added, we, the believers, so in the same manner, my fulfillment is not in my natural family anymore, but in the spiritual. So, frankly, it's quite fitting from the standpoint of being an intercessor. It's just like the father experienced. He had to put away Israel, divorced her, and the Jews he cut off. But he added the spiritual believers to replace them. And that's what this spiritual daughter has been for me. She's a replacement, and of the four items, she's the only one that I've seen a turnaround in these four items, and I welcome it, obviously, very much so. So, this one of the four has been resolved, and our time together for Father's Day turned out to be quite beneficial for her and for her child, as the mother is again turning to the child and requiring obedience of her. And again, in reality, what we have to have is the spiritual, not the natural. The natural is a failure. And my family has evidenced that for many years, and sadly, as well as my wife. Now, the fourth item that I add here weighs upon me. And let me explain what that is. In previous podcasts, I've talked about 23, 23, 23. So I won't go to great length in explaining this. And if this is new to you, you can look this up on the podcast page and listen to 23, 23, 23. But basically it's this. I was born in 1948. 23 years later, in 1971, my life was transformed and I became a believer in Yeshua and began my walk with Him. It was a remarkable transformation in my life. And then 23 years later, in 1994, the Spirit came upon me at the ranch that we had for women and children and began teaching me the incredible, incredible, profound truth concerning the remnant bride. So here again, after another 23 years, I had a remarkable, remarkable transformation in my life. Well, this year, in 2017, marks the third 23-year period in my life. Now, this gives me hope and expectation that Yahweh is going to do something at this point in my life. But the reality is, I have not yet experienced it. And that heightens even more so this hope and anticipation of Yahweh doing something, including the latter rain. And the reality is, since the first 23 years produced such dramatic results, and the second 23-year period produced such dramatic results, which is the bride teaching that I received, and ever since then I have looked for the latter rain that establishes a bride and prepares the way for Emmanuel, if I don't have something this year, what hope do I have? And frankly, my attitude and position at this point is if nothing happens this year that evidences what I have been looking for 23 years, then I just have to stop. I really can't go any further with this anticipation and hope. So this weighs upon me very heavily. So when you have something like Africa that has been going on for a year and a half, and literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands all across the continent of Africa, all the way north of the Sahara Desert, where you have Arabs, all the way down to South Africa, and from east and west, Bride Truth has been expanded and has been fervently and excitingly received. So for nothing to happen now, you know, at the end of May in 1994, I was writing a newsletter for Sunshine House Ministries. And you know the story. I went out to write the newsletter. Nothing came to me. And I simply wrote in this newsletter, if I don't hear from God, this is going to be the shortest newsletter you've ever received. New paragraph. By God or not at all. And then I closed the newsletter and sent it out. And by the way, that was snail mail at that time. But that was at the end of May. And then in June, that's when the Spirit came upon me. That by God or not at all resonates to me today. It's positive because look what happened in June. But it is also foreboding for me because it is by God or not at all. And that phrase actually haunts me, whether Yahweh God is going to do something now or not. Now, 1994 in June, that evidenced that yes, God is going to do something. But here we are, at this recording on June 23, and I haven't seen it yet. So this number 23, this 23rd year in my life, in this third segment of my life, is very weighty to me. So let me restate the four. Africa, what's happening there? My wife and family? My spiritual daughter? Though that is the one of the four items that has been reversed, which gives me hope that the others will be reversed or fulfilled. And the number 23, the third 23rd year in my life. So those are the four things that weigh upon me. But the question is God going to move at this time? And will we see him effect what we so desperately need? And that is the latter rain and the coming of Emmanuel. And with that phrase, by God or not at all, this is a very important year to me. I just want to let you know that since May 31, I've gone through a very hard time. And what is most important is that I be able to financially support the Africa work. The reality is, without the funds, they cannot proceed. And it has brought before me the possibility that I would have to halt the work that is going on in Africa, which troubles me and concerns me. And this possibility weighs me down very heavily. And the reality is that when you go through difficult times, it is natural that you start fearing the worst. And in reality, when someone is in a position like I am, in which I provide the support for the brothers in Africa, it weighs upon me, and I have to anticipate what I will do if the funds cease. And I'm not one to try to manipulate people. My trust is in Yahweh and not in any ability that I have. And so I look to him, and it makes it very difficult, especially when the brothers need funds. And I have to think about what I will do if they don't come in. And I don't look forward to that. But yesterday, a brother sent a gift, and he has sent nice gifts, generally $1,000. And those funds did come in yesterday. And this allowed me to stop thinking about how I'm going to close everything down in Africa. So it gives me a little bit of reprieve. I'm going to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. I told a brother, now, this is just feelings. If the funds don't come in, I told the brother, you know, it's like I'm watching someone die. I'm not going to manipulate people. I'm not going to strive in the flesh. It is by God or not at all. And gratefully, those funds came in, and I can continue. But it's a very fearful thing, frankly. And maybe that's just a weakness in myself. And so I was pondering all of that this morning while in my mother's womb and wondering, will Yeshua come now? Frankly, we're asking for the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we are totally incapable of effecting it. And if God doesn't do it, it truly is not at all. And I'm going to be honest with you. Being responsible for the finances of the Africa work weighs upon me very heavily. And there is only one thing I desire, and that is the latter rain and the coming of Emmanuel. And I'm very hopeful with what is happening in Africa. But if we do not get it, I feel the personal weight of what I think will happen to mankind. Can you imagine the earth continuing and the church continuing the way it is right now? Look, I don't know how you look at things, but I see the absolute total corruption of the kingdom of heaven and people being totally blind and not even understanding where they are in time. And the nations are so corrupted and feminism is so rampant, and they call evil good and good evil. And what is to be the future of the church and of mankind? I see it as dramatically important right now. And if Yahweh doesn't do something, if Yahweh doesn't do something, it's tragic. But if he's not going to move, then just shut all of this down and let me die at some point. I feel the weight, and I'm willing to carry the weight as long as Yahweh gives me the strength and the will. But Yahweh needs to move. This is a third 23, and he needs to move. This morning I was thinking about Yeshua turning water into wine. This would have been after he came out of the wilderness, but of course in the book of John that's not there. But we know that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that is the case. He comes out of the wilderness. And in the book of John, he goes to a wedding, which is exactly what we have to have right now. It's called the wedding feast at Cana. And that's what we need. We need the wedding on the other side of this terrible breach. So Yeshua goes to the wedding, and his mother is there, and they run out of wine. And I will remind you that the name of Yeshua's mother is Mary, and Mary means bitter. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you feel it, but the church for 2,000 years has gone through bitterness. And I don't know if you're aware of it and see it, but the church is in a dreadful state. And if Yahweh doesn't do something, it will be, my God, why have you forsaken us? After 3 hours of darkness. So here's Mary, bitterness. And she says they have no wine. And Yeshua answers, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come." Brothers and sisters, this is not his hour. He is not supposed to come for another 1,000 years. Would you like that? The church will be totally corrupted unless he cuts time short. And Yeshua said, "My hour has not yet come." No, his hour is not yet here for him to come. Listen, I am desperate for Yeshua to do something in my own personal life. I feel it very much so. I'm at the end of my third 23-year period. I probably am feeling what it's going to be like if he waits another 1,000 years to come. I have lost my wife. I have lost my children because of the breach of Christianity. And I'm at the third 23 in my life, and it is a sad and painful state to be in with no hope. My wife and children will not come back unless God does something now. And I would cry with Mary. They need the wine. I know the time is not right But you've got to cut it short, and you've got to do something. I'm in a place of the third 23, and I don't want to go any further, folks. I would just as rather die. Woman, what have I to do with you? But Mary answered, not to him, but to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Let me tell you, folks, that's what it's going to take with the latter rain. We will have to be obedient and listen to his words. And he spoke to the servants and had them to fill the water pots. It wasn't his time, but he turned the water into wine. And obviously that's what we have to have right now. And of course, this miracle was performed at a wedding. And that's what we need right now. It's the wedding of the Lamb to his bride. Yesterday, June 22, it was a hard day for me. Everything looked bleak. And honestly, I was making plans on how to shut down the Africa work. Folks, I am very tired. And I don't have a lot of endurance. I'm very tired. And I'm going to be honest with you. And this is just brutally honest, because tiredness affects these kinds of thoughts. When I received $1,000 from a brother, I knew what I was going to do. I knew that I was going to continue the bride work and let it proceed forward, the bride work in Africa. But I'll be honest, there's another part of me that just was willing for it to die. It's like I told that brother yesterday. It's like I'm watching someone die. And maybe that's what it takes to get to that place. Maybe that's what it takes to get to that place. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do know that provision was made for today. And I will keep going forward. When I was in my mother's womb, I thought of this phrase, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news, Gary, is that you have the gift of endurance. The bad news is that you have the gift of endurance. Sometime Yahweh God lets us exercise our gift. Folks, we're in a very critical place. And if I'm right concerning what's happening in the kingdom of God, it's very critical for the kingdom of God and for mankind. We don't want the body of Christ having to say, my God, why have you forsaken us? That's exactly the way I feel as far as a threat concerning this third 23-year period in my life. We need Yahweh God to do something now. We need for Yahweh God to cut time short and deliver us from the pain that I feel personally. We need Yahweh God to have mercy. I am so thankful for this brother who gave this gift. I thought about sending him an email and asking him if he would go ahead and give a gift again, but I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. Because of his own heart, he responded and was faithful. And folks, that is exactly what it's going to take in these days. And that is faithfulness. I am thankful for this man's faithfulness. Honestly, I look at my wife and children, and they're totally unfaithful. because they're Christians. And that would be the fate of the church if we leave it in the hands of Christians. It will be, my God, why have you forsaken us? But on the other hand, Yahweh has given me a spiritual daughter, and she has paid the price to get to where she is today. And she has proven her love to me by her obedience. And Yahweh has rewarded her with a child that she and her husband were never able to even accomplish in the natural. They have two children, but they weren't natural births like she experienced for the first time. And I won't go into the details of it because it's too sensitive for women, and I'm not going to mention it. But my point is, Yahweh God has got to do something that is beyond what man can do. And I am desperately aware of it, because if he doesn't do something this year, I don't have any hope. And I hate to say it, but I would have to close things down in Africa. And those brothers don't like me saying it either. Father God, have mercy on us. Father God, stop your bitterness against your church and against mankind. Father God, have mercy and cut time short. Father God, give me strength and the ability to endure to the end. Father God, give us the latter rain. Father God, establish a bride on this earth that comes out of blind and dead Christianity, the body of Christ. And do a new thing, as it says in Jeremiah, and let the woman encompass the man. Father God, have mercy upon us. Keep the Africa work alive. Bring forth a bride work, Father. Have mercy on us and complete what you've begun. We ask you sincerely, in the name of your Son, Yeshua, and that he would be Emmanuel. Father, give us your Holy Spirit in this day. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.